everybody, and welcome to episode 18 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? We got a lot to talk about today. We got to do our WandaVision recap, which pisses, I think, both of us off, because it's not the first time we've done it. But last time we recorded it, my computer completely took a shit and just lost the recording completely. So that was terrible.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit? How absolutely crushed you were when you when it happened?
I mean, do I want to relive it? Sure, why not? It was a terrible moment. It was crazy, man, because I was just sitting here listening to the Madman talk. You know, he's going in about WandaVision. And my computer just kind of stopped. Like, I was clicking, like, the mouse pad just wouldn't click anymore. And I was like, what? And the whole computer just froze up. This recording is being saved over the internet and then onto my computer. And it just never happened. And that's what we get for using the free version of these programs.
It reminded me of, like, typing up an essay. This is back in the day when, like, Microsoft Word, like, wouldn't just autosave, or, like, an email wouldn't autosave. And then I accidentally close it, or your battery, like sometimes your laptop is not charged up and it'll just die. And then you just have to hopefully remember some of the stuff you said, which I'm definitely going to try to do later on. Cause I was going in, saying a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good content you guys missed.
Yeah. If this if our WandaVision talk isn't good, just know that it was at first. Like, we recorded it and I was like, hey, cause we, and you'd be like, oh, you recorded it. What do you mean? I thought you said you lost it. We recorded it and then started doing our Moxie review, which we were recording after we recorded everything else. And then we lost it all. And instead, we just redid Moxie, saved Wanda for this time. All that to say, I hated it. So before we get into WandaVision, let's talk about this viral video that just came out today that is so funny. When I say it's funny because no one died. So it's one of those things. But I feel like we're just doing ridiculousness, essentially. Like,
Well, it's going to be awesome when you put in the audio clip of the guy after he got hit.
So, I mean, I guess in honor of ridiculousness, let's do like, I'm Rob Dyrdek, and I'm like, you guys ever hung up a TV? It's like, well, you know, these guys hung up a TV and it didn't work so well. Here we go. TV's falling on people. Boom. And then, you know, they fucking play a bunch of things. There's an ESPN clip from, I think it's ESPN, was it Columbia?
I think it's, they're definitely, yeah, they're not American.
Definitely a Spanish-speaking country. English. And it was, look, I saw an article and it said, oh, TV falls on anchor on ESPN. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, not cool, but yeah, that's a video I'm going to open that up. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to watch that. TV falling on anchor was an understatement. I think a more accurate depiction would probably be, man gets smashed by 300 TVs. Like, he was, he looked obliterated. The fact that he's alive blows my mind.
It was a whole, like, wall that just landed on him. And naturally, he's like, hey, wait. And then all his people are like, tranquilo. And then they're like, they immediately, they're like, okay, so we're going to go ahead and cut real quick and we'll be back. And then I saw, in like an interview follow up, or it's more just like a follow up of the guy that got hit, and his shirt is kind of disheveled. I saw his jacket's a little disheveled. And he's like, I'm okay. Everything is fine. It just kind of landed on me. It's not a big deal. I'm really good. Like, clearly concussed. Like, the studio, like, for sure made him do that just because they didn't want to get sued or they didn't want any bad publicity, because it was already going viral. And he was like, rest be assured, I am okay. It's all fine. It was just a little scare type thing.
But yeah, tranquilo. And the guy just, he's sewn right in. He's like, it's all good. He's
still underneath it. No one helped him. No one came up and, like, lifted it. Or there's no guys behind the cameras that, like, I mean, not that we saw, right? No one really immediately came to his help. They were just like, relax. We're going to go ahead and take a little commercial break, and we'll be right back. This man's, like, crushed underneath.
Someone could have get. Yeah, it's just wild, these people, man. I love it. But, you know, you got to respect the professionalism. You got to respect. He's like, look, I came in here to read the news. I don't give a shit if a TV falls on if the TV didn't fall on me, I'm still going to give you the news. That's the kind of guy you want on your program. So definitely watch that video. If you guys have not seen that video, it's worth It's worth a couple seconds of your life just to see that guy get flattened. Let's do our WandaVision recap. If you have not watched WandaVision and you plan on watching it, go ahead, look at our show notes. I always put timestamps, so you can go ahead and skip to whatever the next thing is. We're going to kind of just talk about the whole series, break down how we feel about it. In the first episode, we talked about not getting too much into like the geek culture stuff, and we're about to do a 20-minute rundown on WandaVision. So, booyah. Here we are.
We are changed podcast hosts.
Disney always wins. So, I guess I'll start here by saying one of the craziest things about this show, past the actual content of the show, is the wildness surrounding everything about it. So, starting from the cast interviews and how they clouded people's expectations, with Paul Bettany literally trolling everyone, saying there's an actor he worked with, it hasn't leaked, someone he's always wanted to work with, plot twist, that actor was himself, so he was just trolling everyone. People are thinking Magneto's coming out, it's going to be Wolverine, something crazy. It was just him. He was ha ha ha, had a laugh about it. Then Elizabeth Olsen said, oh, we're going to have a big reveal. They were like, oh, like a Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian? And she was like, yeah, sure, like that. And then they had a huge reveal, but people were like, no, that probably wasn't it. Lead to disappointment. So I couldn't help but think that, one, if the actors never did an interview, that people would just be happier in general. And the other thing is that if they released it all at once, that people would have been happier too, because they'd spend less time theorizing about everything. They would have just watched it and been like, oh, that was cool. And then just accepted it. And still, I mean, there's still things that aren't explained. There's still repercussions. There's still things to unpack, even after the finale. But I really enjoyed the week-to-week thing. I loved the way people interacted with it, talked about it. I enjoyed reading the theories, because I'm not smart enough in the Marvel Universe to theorize anything myself. So I would just go and be like, oh, that's cool. That's interesting. But Madman, what did you think about WandaVision?
Let me start off by saying I enjoyed WandaVision, right? I enjoyed all the creativity behind it. I love the week-to-week basis thing. It got me super excited. I definitely did not like the last episode because kind of that, right? I'm looking forward to this series, like the season finale. I'm looking forward to this last episode. And then I see what I saw and I was like, really? Like, you had me wait, like, just for that? Like, you should have just done that in episode 8. Like, just make it a super duper episode, because nothing really exciting happened. It just ended. Oof. It almost felt like it was rushed, like a rushed ending. I was super disappointed, because some of the things I wanted to see, or some of the things I wanted to be resolved, just simply weren't. And that's fair. You know, just because your theory didn't come through doesn't mean that it was trash. But it's just so many kind of loose ends and so many storylines that kind of didn't really evolve, or they just snipped it. They just cut it. I was so disappointed with that. I definitely the weakest episode of the whole season, the whole show.
Well, so, I mean, you're saying theories and stuff, because I thought the finale was cool. I had a great time watching it. So you're talking about loose ends. Are those not things that can be addressed in the Marvel movies, or like, what kind of loose ends are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, some things can and some things can't. So, like, things that can, let's say Agatha, right? Agatha, and they're talking about how her bunny was Mephisto. Everyone was kind of theorizing on it, and there was something more to it, right? They're like, oh, this bunny is not, you know, this Senior Scratching, I think was his name. They're like, that's not a good bunny. There's something deep and dark behind it. They didn't talk about it, right? They didn't do it. Afterwards, you know, they're talking about the show. They kind of addressed it. They're like, look, there is, you know, in the last episode, there's some things that we just cut, or things that we wrote, and it just didn't happen. The bunny had an extended role. It was supposed to be like a demon. It was, you were going to see it kind of like turn into like a Teen Wolf type transformation, where the bunny was going to be, you know, bigger, and the kids were going to have to, you know, like, get the book, you know, like that magical book. And they were going to fight off. It was like Darcy and the kids or something like that. We're going to fight off this bunny or something like that. Okay. It's still weak. It's not Mephisto. But I mean, they didn't explain any of that. They just didn't address the bunny anymore. But that's other people going a little crazy, right? That's a little bit like, you're looking a little bit too much into it, but also like, I thought something was up with that bunny, right? Like, you wanted to see the bunny do something, because everyone was theorizing about it. And maybe it's all the dumb TikToks I saw with everyone just like having theories to everything. But I was caught up in it. Yeah. I was caught up with bunny.
That kind of, I mean, I feel like that falls into exactly what I was saying earlier about the way it was released and everyone's theorizing. People are just building themselves up for things and then being upset when their theories don't come around.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing because that theorizing, all that talk about the show is fun and it's engaging and people are clearly passionate. So they do talk about it, but it hurts it for some people, right? Like, so I'm not involved in that theorizing. I don't know. You're like, the bunny might be Mephisto. I don't know who that is.
That's fair. That's good. And that's one thing, right? That's just the bunny. That's the smallest concern. I wasn't tripping about that. Boom. Big theory, right? Monica Rambeau, she's talking about an aerospace engineer, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, is the perfect person for this job to help her out. Yeah. Everyone's like, dude, it's Mr. Fantastic. John Krasinski's going to come out. He's going to be Mr. Fantastic. Like, it's going to be sick. Everyone's theorizing on it, right? Where it became kind of a reality. It became kind of one of those things that everyone talked about. You're like, yes, yes. Again, the TikTok videos, right? People are like, dude, I'll throw all my money down that, you know, Fantastic Four is going to come out next episode. That's the aerospace engineer. Yeah. It's going to be sick. It just, the aerospace engineer never came out. It never happened.
It's the guy, you know? It's the guy that gave her the truck or the truck to get through the force field. It's
whack.
It's
just, yeah. I was like, I don't believe that's the guy. Yeah. I didn't want to, but that's just the guy. That's just what it was.
And I guess, see, this is where my, like, ignorance is bliss, right? Because my knowledge of the MCU is so minimal. I'm not super invested in the story up to this point, even though I've seen every movie, so I am, like, relatively aware of it. I had a great time watching it, and I didn't have any of these, like, pitfalls. Like, none of this was devastating to me because I was just having a good time watching the show. I was like, this is great. This is fun.
The biggest thing for me that my biggest upset theory, like, was the whole Peter Maximoff situation, right?
Yeah.
You have Evan Peters. He's casted as Quicksilver, right? And they make fun of it. It's like, oh, what? She recasted Quicksilver. And I'm like, yes, this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. They're going to figure out a way to kind of save and salvage some of the good from the Fox, you know, X-Men series, some of these characters. We're going to have Evan Peters as freaking Quicksilver. And I was like, yes, this is good. Boom. They freaking kill Quicksilver again. They make a boner joke. That's all it is. All it is a boner joke. Monica Rambeau figures out that, like, he's under control because of a necklace or she's able to see it, right? They pick up a headshot and his name is Ralph Boner. He's just an actor. How do you set all that up for a freaking Ralph Boner joke?
And that's probably the worst part, right? Like that of all. Okay, so everything else you mentioned,
a boner joke,
to me just sounds like people setting themselves up for failure. So Quicksilver was by far the biggest reveal in WandaVision, and
right,
and it had to be what Elizabeth Olsen was talking about when she did that interview. It ironically was also the episode where we, as Screen Champs, we're like, we're going to stop trying to talk about this show because every time, the way we release our episodes, we're never going to be able to keep up with all these jaw-dropping moments. Plot twist, that was the last huge jaw-dropping moment. But it is what it is. So they knew exactly what they were doing. And then when it's all just for this joke where she's like, your name is Ralph, like, Boner? And he's like, yeah, yeah. It's infuriating. That
and there's an H. There's an H in there. You know, that's. I hope you guys know the. You know,
yeah, it's not. It's just like Boner. Yeah, it's not like an erect penis on this forehead or anything. No, it's
it's his name. But I know what you're doing.
Yeah,
Ralph Boner.
I mean, yeah, all that for a boner joke. And so it's like, okay, like, well, cool. You know, but you know what you're doing.
I get it
because people get excited about this stuff. People are very passionate, as they know, and I know they knew people were going to be passionate. Part of me is almost thinking, like, maybe they're surprised by, you know, how many people cared, but they know how many people cared, so I'm just being stupid.
But, I mean, that's the thing, right? Because that's also tied in with Jimmy Woo's character. Jimmy Woo's like, oh, yeah, there's someone in this town under witness protection. This is why I'm here. And so, you know, theorizing, right? Everyone's like, oh, it has to be Quicksilver. That's why his name is Ralph Boner. No one knows that. Yeah, it's supposed to be funny. We thought the audience was going to get a kick off of that. Even when we casted Evan Peters, it was designed for it to be kind of like, you know, question marks, because in the show, you don't know what's real. You don't know what isn't real. And they wanted to play off of that. They liked that. And they thought it would have been cool. They didn't realize how many people were going to be upset about it, but they thought it was going to be something clever, right? Something creative.
I realized around episode 8 that the creators were tempering expectations. They had Paul Bettany, who plays Vision, going around saying, hey, guys, I was just kidding about the cameo thing. It was me. My bad. Thought it was funny. They had the director of the last episode coming out being like, hey, guys, I've read some of your theories. They sound great. Yeah, we didn't do that. So just, you know, I think you might be a little disappointed with what you get at the end. I enjoyed that finale. I thought the finale was a ton of fun. It was the most Marvel thing about the whole show, for sure. Wanda fighting in her, you know, stay-at-home mom jean, like, sweats and, like, shirt for, like, half the episode was just wonderful. I absolutely love that. Like, she's literally flying through the air, like, Dragon Ball Z style with Agatha. And she's just wearing, like, pajama pants. I was like, this is great. This is great. And Vision, White Vision, and the other Vision, great. I enjoyed all that, too. I like when Vision tried to smash Wanda's head. That scared me. That just terrifies me. When you
that was
hear
dark.
The,
that was
hear,
a little
like,
dark
the skull
right there.
Cracking, you know, it stresses me out.
Yeah.
I know you did not feel the same way. So give me your gripes about the finale, Madman.
Like, what the main villain is, Agatha, is you know, who was cool. She was fine. But that's, like, the main villain. And, you know, because you expect the big villain fight. And all it really is this dude, freaking Tyler Hayward, the guy that's running S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah, he sucks.
You know, just hates Wanda. And was like, oh, yeah, dude, it's going to be perfect. We're going to send out White Vision in there. He's going to terminate her, and I'm going to be rewarded. It's going to be awesome.
When you think about character arcs and staying true to who you are, Vision talking, instead of fighting Vision and Vision just having a conversation with each other, that's Vision, right? Like, it's logical. It all makes sense. Like,
yeah,
it just, you know, and he shook him. He was like, hey, bro, let me give you some memories real quick. And he's like, nah, yeah. I have a directive. And he's like, but do you? And he's like, damn, do I? And he fucking touched his head and shit.
hit me.
He was like, oh. And he was like, I just processed a lot. And then he realized he was Vision. Because his directive was to kill the Vision.
Yeah.
And then he was like, wait, I am the Vision.
Yeah.
So he just dips. Because I don't know if that's a little suicide situation going on.
Wait, it's either suicide or leave. Like,
yeah. So we don't know where White Vision is, but we know he has a lot of memories. And ideally, we'll see him in the future, hopefully with a paint job or something going on. And I can't wait.
That's freaking Hayward's, like, big thing. That's his whole thing. And so when that doesn't work out, he freaking shoots Monica Rambeau. And then shoots the kids.
Well, no, he shoots the kids. He shoots the kids.
He shoots the kids. Amanda Rambeau, she runs in front of it, you know, mm-hmm. selflessly, mm-hmm. right? And they just happen to go right through her.
Whew,
thank goodness. They don't address her powers. They just go right through her.
She just got
them. And then, well, yeah, I mean, but it's like, I mean, I would have loved to have seen something a little bit cooler than that. Maybe, like, blast him with something. But, I mean, it was just, like, that dumb government, like, villain type thing. And then Agatha, great, right? I loved Agatha. Whatever. She gets defeated. I get it. Because Wanda leaves. She, like, puts everything back to normal. Kind of walks out. Monica's like, yeah, you could come through. And then, like, the whole city just, like, the whole town just stays there. And then they're like, hey, bro, like, she's an Avenger, right? Like, bro, she kind of, like, cursed us, like, dog. Like, because those people were going crazy. Those people are going to, like, have to do a lot of mental health, like, freaking maybe some AA meetings or some sort of life therapy. A lot of therapy sessions in that city. I don't know how the hell the Avengers are going to respond to that. I don't know if they're going to be cool with what Wanda did, because she was going through, she was a grieving mother, you know, she was a grieving person, and, you know, she just lost Vision. She needed this.
Don't say it like that, bro. Like, when you're saying the villain of the show, like,
it's her, bro.
The villain of the show is grief. No, it's like, it's
oh no, yeah, she doesn't get a pass for that.
Yeah, she does. Hey, look.
Okay. Oh no.
Now, there's a good chance she's going to be a bad guy in the next movie because of what she did. She took over a whole town. She made them, like, you know, fall into line and do whatever she wanted for her own little perfect world. She created her own little perfect world. The ramifications of that are clearly they're not happy with her. That is that is abundantly clear. I mean, yeah, every time they were snapped out of it, it was sad. Like, they were,
they're like crying. They're like,
And so I felt everything she was feeling. Like, Vision got the little stone ripped out of his head. He's dead. She's falling apart. You know, that's her true love. That's all she has. Her brother's dead twice. All she has is Vision. So she created this world. She created Vision. She created these two fake kids with powers. And they lived this life. And then she gave it all back. She didn't have to. She's strong enough. She could have lived in that world forever. But she gave it all back. I think it's a beautiful thing, man. She had her grief and she dealt with it. Some people deal with it. People deal with grief a lot of ways. Wanda takes over town and ruins everyone's life for a couple weeks. And that's fine. That's fine. It makes that's for good trash. TV. And those people in that town, bro, they're going to have a story for years. Like, there's going to be a Reddit-like community where it's like, oh, you know, you're one of the ones from Westview or Eastview, whichever one. You know, it's like, yeah, I lived in Westview, AMA. Like, ask me, you know, like, what's going on? Like, no, like, I couldn't say a word. Like, did you know? Like, I knew, bro, I knew. But it's like, I couldn't say it. Like, you know, they'd be going crazy. They're little celebrities. They're doing their Oprah interviews. They're having a great time, bro. This is, if anything, this is like a springboard for future career, reality TV show. There's a lot that Westview is going to have to offer the world now because of what Wanda did.
I guess I would rather take that than like rather be in the city where like I just happen to be part of the fight. You know, like I just happen to be at work that day and a freaking plane just lands on my building or like,
yeah, you know, like the big Avengers fight. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like a freaking Iron Man shoots and it just happens to hit my building and we're all wrecked. And it's like, hey, like, low key, like, you can't work here no more. We don't have a freaking place of business anymore.
Yeah, we don't have a building. Car gets blown up. You know, like, hey, yeah. Insurance doesn't cover superheroes, brother. I'm sorry. We have pretty specific.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, knowing me, I'm going to have, like, the cheapest insurance. I'm not going to have the superhero insurance. I'm going to get the one where I can just drive. And if I get pulled over, I'm like, hey, bro, this is – I'm covered, bro. It's not the best coverage, but, you know, it's
– California minimum. It's a thing for a reason.
Well, it's funny, too, because someone was like, hey, is there going to be season two? They're like, I mean, we didn't plan on making a season two. Like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Season two? We're like, no, this is just, well, this is the story we wanted to tell. This is how we did it. And that's it, pretty much. All in all, I mean, fun show. I don't know if I'm going to rewatch it. Do you think you're going to rewatch it?
I don't know. I guess if like Vanessa wants to watch it or something like that, I'll rewatch it. But
other than the first few episodes or something, like the ones that. Like, maybe the better episodes, like the first five.
No, I mean, it's only they're all like 30-minute episodes if you take out the credits. Some of them are like 15 minutes when you take out the long credits. So, with that,
you could probably finish the whole series. Yeah, which screw them. I hate them for that, dude.
Yeah, the credits
are. I'm like, oh, we're going to get a big episode today. It's like a 15-minute, like, as soon as you see the standby, you know, like, I'm like, ah, man, y'all played me.
All right, so that kind of wraps up the WandaVision here. Overall, I think you'd say, so you'd recommend it?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, right? Because then it's like, if you didn't watch, if you weren't with us, I what are you doing, dude? Like, what, like, watch it. It's fun. It was a fun ride. It's something that you could watch probably better now because you could just watch it all in one go, watch it all in one day, have at it. But yeah, I mean, it'd probably be better too because you wouldn't be so hyped up for it.
So there you go. From the Madman Moan himself, this show would have been better if it was released all at one time.
What? yeah whatever, yeah, that's my take
pretty much. All right, let's hop here to our quick hits. Let's see, we got Meghan Markle and Oprah. This is either gonna be a short conversation or a long conversation, and there's only one way to find out. Madman, I know you know a little bit more about this. I feel like it kind of took over the news for a little bit. I'm pretty anti-royal family, you know. I'm an American. I don't pay attention to our news. I definitely don't pay attention to overseas news. But I know you 100%. Listen to a podcast about this. What are some of the quick hits about this interview or this thing and Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, right? Is that the one she's married to?
Yeah, correct.
All right, what's going on with this?
Well, all right, so the big thing is that Meghan Markle, she had no idea what this royal family was about. Like, a Google search wouldn't help her, whatever. Okay. But the point is, she had no idea what she was getting herself into. Mm-hmm. She had no idea how intense it was and how much of an institution it was, right? Like, it's a freaking, it's a royal family. This is big business. That's and, the
craziest thing I've ever heard. Okay. She didn't know. All right.
Yeah, she had no idea. And Prince Harry didn't, like, he wasn't stressing about it. He was like, dude, it's good.
Don't worry. We're just going to watch movies and hang out. It's all good.
You're going to meet the queen. It's going to be all right. Just make sure you hit that curtsy, like the whoa. You know, like, just, you know, it's going to be cool. We're going to have some tea, eat some crumpets. Like, it's going to be lit. It's all good. Everyone loves you. I mean, everyone loves me. It's going to be fine. But so they were kind of hating on her. They were like shitting on her, pretty much, to be frank. Like, they were just kind of shitting on her and being borderline a little racist. They were being a little racist with her, kind of damning her. Not the queen. The queen was cool. She was always cool with her. But pretty much other people in that institution, other people in that family, they were kind of being weird with her.
Well, I feel like if the queen's nice, she has like the luxury of not having to deal with stuff. So she'll smile to your face, but then if she wants something done, she's going to talk to the minions. Like, hey, make sure y'all tell her this, because I can't believe she walked in here left foot first or whatever stupid customs they got going on in that castle.
No, but also too, like, they're a little overpowered. They're a little bit empowered. They're like, dude, like, we got to protect the queen. There's also the tabloids too. It's also like the UK tabloids. They're going hard on her. And it's messing with her mental health, right? It was messing with her mental health and where she's, you know, over here contemplating suicide, apparently. Harry kind of had no idea, like, it was that intense. But he was born into it, you know, so he was kind of became aware of what was happening, and, you know, kind of backed up his wife and was like, all right, so we're denouncing, we're like leaving, we're just going to just go to the US and live there. And we're not going to be part of this royal family anymore.
I'll say this again, not knowing too much about it. Like, say, I didn't know how crazy the royal family was going to be. Like, what do you mean? Like, what other, it's gotta be the craziest family to be a part of, at least top five in the world. Like, it can't, I don't know anything about the royal family. I know if I was a part of it, it would be crazy, and there'd be a lot of scrutiny and a lot of people involved in my life. So that just phrase, I don't know if she said it like that, but seems like wild to me. That being said, if you're Prince Harry, you don't have to do anything other than be a public figure, right? And he's born into it, so it's not like he can get canceled or whatever. It's like that's just who he is. He's just, I'm the prince. Hey, I did it. I'm here. I was born. Yes. He's got the life. He's got the money. He's set. He doesn't have to do anything. If he left with her, he's like, hey, this is bad, we got to go, then I believe something bad was going on. Because to walk away from all that, that's got to be crazy.
Which I'm like, dude, this is so nuts and crazy. Like, I don't understand how this is not like a TV show like the Kardashians, because this is, I didn't know it was this intense, right? I had no idea it was this wild. But
like, you and Meghan Markle, like, bro. Damn.
Meghan Markle's where you're getting shit on, and Prince Harry is kind of like, oh fuck. I mean, I don't know. I've been like this my whole life. Like, this is,
yeah,
I guess. Really? Like, fuck. Really? Nah, it's not like that. It's all good. And it's a trip, because people were upset. You know, people are still upset. I guess they released a poll after it happened, and some people didn't give a shit about them. You know, like, they still don't care about them, which is sucks. They, you know, for sure it sucks.
Yeah.
And then Piers Morgan. What's up with that guy? That guy's very passionate too.
I mean, Piers Morgan, he essentially was saying that he just doesn't believe anything she's saying. Like, he just thinks she's full of it. He doesn't believe. Now, I guess there was, where he got problematic with it is that people, you know, she was saying that she wanted to, you know, she was having thoughts of suicide. She was depressed. And he was saying, I'm calling BS on all of it. And people were saying, well, that's insensitive. You shouldn't be talking about that specifically. You know, if someone needs help, they should get help, all that stuff. And he was like, whatever. Right. What he said after, and I, look, I don't, I was about to say, I love this. It's not that I love it. I just love, I just enjoy when people like just kind of keep throwing up the middle finger to everyone. And he put out a tweet where it was like, I had time to reflect on the comments I made Monday. I still think she's full of shit. Like, it was just so, like, it was very much like a Conor McGregor type moment. Like,
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Yeah, like, this guy's ruthless.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was like, oh man.
You gotta protect the queen, bro. You gotta protect the queen. You know, like, yeah, you just have to make sure that.
Without fail, dude, you gotta protect the queen 100%. Yeah, he's going
Which sucks. I think it sucks, but that's just the UK, like, media. That's the tabloids. That's just how it is. And I think we've just been so kind of used to it, right? We're just so used to seeing this family drama on TV. I mean, I'm over here saying I want this to be a reality TV show because I think it's entertaining.
Hey man, I mean, whatever. Someone's got to put out a good reality show, because all these like quarantine shows, like where it's like normally they have the whole world, but now they're staying in one like place, they're not working for me. I'm not loving any of the COVID-19 shot during the pandemic reality shows right now. So
yeah,
if they can give me a good one, I'll take it.
Especially after seeing like Jersey Shore, like I want to see none of that, no more. I want to see the royal family drama. And then like The Crown is so popular, they're like, yeah, we're not gonna do a Meghan Markle freaking Prince Harry storyline on The Crown. Ooh. We're not gonna do that.
There you go.
You just can't shit on the queen.
Hey, I mean, it is what it is, man. And I'm not going to watch The Crown either. See, this is all, you know what this really is? This is all a big advertisement for The Crown. I know it is. I know it is. That's what this is, bro. Don't.
They got us.
Yeah. No. They didn't. They didn't get me.
Well, they did. I'm not. Well, they're getting me. It looks like they're actively trying to get me.
They got.
I want to know more Netflix. About the royal family.
They got to deal with Netflix. Netflix was like, all right, guys, air out some laundry. And they're like, what are you talking about, bro? We just wanted to come to the U.S. and make TV shows and podcasts. We didn't want to deal with this. It's stuffy in the castle, whatever. And they're like, no. Like, say some stuff. And they're like, no, we can't say that. That's terrible. Like, they're like, don't say who it was. Just put it out there. You know, you're not going to, you know, no one's getting buried. Just make something up. And everyone's going to talk about The Crown. And there it goes. Now we're talking about The Crown, and that's how they win. And I'm not going to watch it because I think British shows are boring. But that's okay.
I'm sneaky strong. I'm sneaky strong. I'm always reminded.
Kyle Christie. Yeah.
I'm always reminded, like, the whole time.
Shout out British people, all our listeners in England or Britain or whatever. I don't know if you guys are part of the UK. There's a Brexit situation going on. I'm not too up on world politics at all. I will say this, though. I'd love to know what some of these money problems are like, bro. Like, every rich person talks about, like, how, man, money's not going to make you happy. Money's not going to change anything. Let me find out, man. Like, let me know, bro. Like, send me something then. Venmo, shoot me some money then. Let me see if it makes it better or worse. I just want to know. Or if it stays the same. I just want to know. I would just love to know what it's like to be a royal and then hate it. I'd like to know what it's like to be a billionaire and just be like, man, this sucks. Oh, give me those problems, please.
I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be funny. Prince Philip, I think, would be hilarious. That guy, just look at Prince Philip. Just go, if you don't know how he looks like, Google him. That guy for sure has to be racist. Like, he very funny. Like, he has to be. I think he is in the hospital right now. So, you know, I will wish him well. But I think he would probably be a hoot on this reality TV show that I'm trying to make.
Oh, bro. Yeah. Well, he's like, he does. I mean, he looks
a little racist, right?
I mean, he looks a little bit, he's 99 years old. He was born in 1921. I would never excuse racism. This is not my Chris Harrison moment.
The woke police is out there.
But he said, is it a bad look in 2018? Or is it a bad look in 2021? My man was born in 1921. I'll say this. Hopefully he changed. But he's 99 years old. I mean, yeah. He's an old dude for sure. Next we got... A little HBO Max drama. I feel like this is all a ploy, just the same way the royal family is trying to get us to talk about The Crown. HBO yeah. Max just needs people to continue to talk about Justice League. This week, it started playing over Tom and Jerry. So when people went to go play Tom and Jerry, Justice League, the four-hour Snyder Cut started playing, and it took HBO Max about 2 hours to fix their error. So a couple lost souls who were just trying to watch Tom and Jerry for some reason. Who were like, you know what? I was already having a bad day, and I was just going to kind of jump deep into my depression. I'm going to throw on Tom and Jerry. And then they got treated to the Snyder Cut instead. So it seems like the hype was good. Some people seem to be enjoying it. But I feel like this is all weird HBO Max promotion because they want us to talk about the Justice League on our show every single week. And here we are again talking about it. And they're releasing, like, every day there's a new picture of the Joker. From every angle. He's only in one scene in the movie, supposedly. So it's bro, how many pictures of this guy do you have?
Multiple angles.
I don't know what's going on, but here we are. Justice, you win again, HBO Max. You win again.
Or they were trying to get people to watch Tom and Jerry, the hit movie, on HBO Max right now.
And they were like trying to get the streaming numbers up. So they had this story go out. So people are like, I could watch Justice League, then they throw on Tom and Jerry.
And then they'll watch the whole movie, and they're like, damn, I didn't see a lick of Justice League. Let me just do it one more time to see maybe it'll play now, not knowing that they fixed it 2 hours later. And then, you know, it did. And, you know, just pump up those Tom and Jerry numbers. You know, like, Tom and Jerry super fan, Man Mellon.
Yeah, so maybe that was it. Maybe that was it. It was a ploy.
I was like, man, like, why didn't that happen when you watched Tom and Jerry? Just so you could watch it ahead of time and then just Google Tom and Jerry or just say, like, yeah, Tom and Jerry, a movie about, you know, Tom the Cat and Jerry the Mouse. Yeah, I didn't like it. And
I could just say that. No, I'm a man with integrity. at least with movies. And I put it on, and I watched the whole thing. I wasn't happy about it. 5 minutes in, I was like, I already know I'm going to hate everything about this movie. And I watched the whole thing. I didn't watch the credits. You said there was a deleted scene. Hand up, I didn't see the deleted or the end credit scene. So there is that. I'm going to admit to that. But I watched Tom and Jerry. If I review a movie, I saw that movie. Let's see. All right, next up here, we got Disney is canceling themselves. What? So the story here is...
The woke police is out there.
It's essentially the story because Disney Plus has this thing called Kids Profiles, where for anyone under seven, the parents can set them up to have a kid profile so they can still access it on their own.
That's good.
Last October, they added disclaimers to movies that had racist depictions in them. And so the disclaimer they added was, this program includes negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. These stereotypes were wrong then and are wrong now. Rather than remove this content, we want to acknowledge its harmful impact, learn from it, and spark conversation to create a more inclusive future together. So some of the movies that got labeled with this little disclaimer, like Dumbo, Peter Pan, Swiss Family Robinson, The Aristocrats, and what Disney Plus did is make those movies unavailable on the kid profile. So they can still watch all the other G-rated content there is, but because these had that disclaimer, I guess the thought process is that because they felt the because that disclaimer's there and it has some content that maybe requires a little bit of discussion or context, someone under that age isn't going to be able to process that, so they made it unavailable. And some people are upset. Some people are saying cancel culture's gone too far. They're calling the woke police.
The woke police is out there.
They're calling everyone in. Man, what are your thoughts here on Disney Plus taking away the past and acting like it never happened and ruining culture as we know it?
Relax. It's fine. It's fine. They like while you're doing this, you're also like fighting with your husband and like getting hammered off of wine. You know, like, you're also exposing them to stuff that you're not addressing. You know, but because it is on your TV. How dare they, you know, and while you're like being already a crummy, like terrible human being, like relax, dude, you're fine.
So your response to this is like, all right, look, family who is upset about this, mom's an alcoholic. No one's addressing that.
Yeah.
No
one's addressing the fact that. How about you hang out with your kid? How about you guys go to a park and not just throw them on the TV and have them play HBO Max? Like,
And when you go to the park, you know, if you can't share your drink in the Hydro Flask with the kid, maybe it's not appropriate to be driving around with all boozed up on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Not everyone's like that, but people are, you know, those people are out there. I think those are the ones that are kind of.
Look, Disney has a past of some pretty, you know, racist cartoons and things like that that they've put out. They've since taken that stuff back. Those things didn't age well now. And that's essentially what they're saying now. They're like, hey, guys, look, this didn't age well. We understand that. We can't rewrite history. So this is here, but it needs conversation, needs context. So just know that. I mean, man, they're not getting rid of it. But here's the thing. Even if they did get rid of it, like, I mean, it's their company. I don't know, man. It feels like it's not that. Like, I get there's a thousand things people could do. This seems like responsible for the company saying, hey, we have this stuff. We messed up. If you want to be cynical, you're like, yeah, they're still profiting off of it. So be it. And they're, you know, taking it away from kids under seven. If you're that passionate, just throw it up on your account. I guess I just don't see the big deal here. Maybe, I don't know. This is going to be like one of those things where, you know, it's like they came for Lola Bunny's thickness and you didn't say anything because you didn't care about Lola Bunny's thickness. And then they came for the Aristocrats because they made some shitty Asian jokes and you didn't care about the Aristocrats. But now they're coming for Screen Champs. And I'm like, no, I should have spoke up at Lola Bunny.
No, I hope not. Jeez. No, I mean, well, all right, because my thing is like, all right, if it's not okay, yeah, for sure, it's not okay. Remove it for everyone. You know, like, just get rid of it. If, you know, like, if it's something that just didn't age well, right? And it was, you know, borderline, like, well, not borderline, it was just for sure racist.
Yeah.
Just get rid of it for everyone, you know? But you know, you're limiting it for the 7-year-olds, and then you're like, no, don't, hey, no, okay, if they want to watch that, we're gonna watch it together as a family. Like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, what's the thing here?
Well, so it's like, I mean, these are classic Disney films. So they're saying, look, if you are going to watch it, we're going to have this disclaimer. It's a disclaimer. It's not like people read the FBI warning at the beginning of movies either. You know, you can just throw shit up in the movie. I could put my life story up for 10 seconds at the beginning of a movie. People are just going to the restroom. Like, oh, don't worry, I haven't started yet. So, I mean, people might not even watch it. I guess it's a 12-second clip that plays in front of the movies. You can't skip it, but I feel like it's being handled responsibly, and it's like not like the content's gone; like it's still there. Like
it's being handled responsibly too. Like, I think it is being handled responsibly. I don't know how you could be upset about it.
Yeah,
I just really don't. You know, limit everything for sure. I'm not a freaking 7-year-old, so I mean, I don't give a shit. Limit everything. Imagine when that 7-year-old becomes older and is like, dude, I'm able to watch Dumbo now. It's gonna be lit. I've been reading about it, bro. There's like some stuff in it. Like,
yeah, the racist crows. One of them's named Jim Crow.
I'm stoked, bro. I'm 13 now. I bet, you know, I'm gonna watch this.
You'll finally get to see the crazy Dumbo movie. Next up here, we have a movie that definitely would not be playing on the kids' version of Disney Plus. Working title is Cocaine Bear. This is with Elizabeth Banks directing. So essentially, this news came out. It's like Elizabeth Banks is attached to direct Cocaine Bear. And we don't talk a lot about directorial attachments on the show, but when something's called Cocaine Bear, your ears kind of perk up, you know, your eyes dilate, you get anxious. No, I'm just kidding. But your heart starts racing.
You're reading off. You're like, those are the effects that I found on WebMD. Yeah. So,
you start talking about wanting to start a business with your friends. just kidding.
You're doing like 7 jobs at once, drinking a lot of beer, no effect to you.
You going to the bathroom? It's a title that grabs your attention, is what I'm saying.
We just described Ryan Howard from The Office.
I would say this title grabs your attention immediately. I'm like, because they're saying it's a true story. And I'm like, a true story? Okay, now my head immediately goes to a bear high on cocaine, and just starts ravaging a town. Like, just goes into a town, starts killing people, spears coked out, just living his best life. That's what the real story is, that a bear found some cocaine in the woods, consumed it, and then overdosed, which makes more sense, and no one was killed by it.
Does it, though?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, hey, that's what happened.
This poor bear, or maybe this lucky bear, I don't know how the bear was feeling, but I mean, like...
Yeah, he's probably felt something that a lot of bears don't feel, so I don't know if he was able to
accidentally find
that.
A bag of coke in the woods, like...
Well, I don't know how much he consumed, but they said his stomach was full of cocaine. So it would have killed any mammal, it said. Like, not just, like, no one could have survived this. Not even Ryan Howard.
And now, do you think that someone that just, like, threw it, you know, like, from their hat, like, just threw it into the woods? Like, man, hopefully a bear finds this and just trips out. Well, or, you know, some dumb knuckleheads were like, well, not even knuckleheads, like a freaking cartel or someone... was out in the woods, you know, getting high on their own supply, freaked out, and just dipped and just left it there.
Well, it is neither of those things. So, fun fact, I now know everything about this story because I just read about it. What?
Yeah. No, the cocaine bear story. This is a story.
Yeah. So, this is a story of Andrew Carter Thompson. He's an Air Force officer, a Purple Heart recipient, turned to a narcotics officer, turned to a lawyer. So this guy has had a lot of, I would say, noble careers, you know, careers that someone looks at and you're like, hey, that's a good guy. Well, maybe, it's
Purple Heart.
Not a narcotics officer. Through a 2021 lens, maybe not a narcotics officer. But I'm going to stop saying that. I can't say those words together. Tongue twister, if you guys tried, it's only going to play once on the podcast, but I had to say narcotics officer probably 17 times to get it without just mumbling that word altogether. So that's insane.
A little behind the scenes brought to you by Screen Champs.
So anyway, this guy on 9/11, 1985, was found dead in a driveway in Tennessee. So essentially, he was flying a plane. He jumped out of the plane with a parachute. And 77 pounds of cocaine, and the parachute never went off. So my man just went from the sky just straight to the ground, lived a glorious life, and
Jesus,
I mean, man,
with the cocaine,
with all the coke, and some of it kind of, you know, flew off, you know, and so some of it landed in the woods, and that's where the bear had his fun. The bear went all in on that coke, had a great time, and now we have Cocaine Bear. And so I feel like it's a little disingenuous, but it's good because if they were advertising this and they're saying, hey, Elizabeth Banks is directing the Andrew Carter Thompson story of the cocaine smuggler, I wouldn't have even looked at it twice. I wouldn't have thought anything. I was like, cool, whatever. Yeah. But Cocaine Bear, I'm all in. So
yeah, I mean, if it's a comedy, right? It's like a horror comedy.
I'm assuming this is going to be a dark comedy / drama. Like, I don't know. I kind of have. Did you see American Made with Tom Cruise?
American Made with Tom Cruise. Is he a pilot in that one?
He is a pilot. Yeah. That movie is, I feel, tonally, that's what I imagine this movie is going to be like. Kind of like okay. This drama / like dark comedy, kind of having fun with a very intense, serious subject.
Oh, so it's going to be more about Andrew Carter Thompson, you're saying, that the Cocaine Bear?
Well, it has to be, because the only thing the bear did was get high and die.
I was hoping it was going to be like, it starts off with like a big thud right in the woods, and it's poor Andrew Carter just, you know, accidentally or intentionally killed himself. And then the bear just, you know, goes into it, dives in, his head goes up, eyes wide open, Cocaine Bear. And then the movie plays out, just a lot of different people in the story.
You know, just like running fast.
Just in the town, yeah. And then one by one, they're getting murdered by this Cocaine Bear. A lot of funny death scenes.
Yeah, I think that was definitely what I was imagining going into it when I read Cocaine Bear. That was the expectation that I had. Yeah. Sadly, we're not getting that. The other thing that I thought would be kind of cool is if it played out like a Disney nature documentary. And like Morgan Freeman's just kind of like narrating the whole thing. And you see the bear just kind of out there, like, playing with other bears. They're, like, catching salmon and stuff. Talking about hibernating. And then, like, 75 minutes in, you just hear that thud, like, doom. And the bear kind of turns around. And then Morgan Freeman narrating, he's like,
what the fuck is this? But what do I know? I'm just Morgan Freeman.
And then the bear just walks over to the coke and, like, just goes in. And then the movie just ends right there. Like Disney nature. And I was hoping that played out. You never
that
know.
That would be awesome.
We'll still see. We don't know what Elizabeth Banks has up her sleeve. She's
a funny person, comedies. Though. Yeah. She's a funny person. I hopefully she listened to my story of Cocaine Bear.
Anyway, I'm saving the episode right now just because I'm paranoid. All right.
I would be so pissed off if, like,
yeah,
just redo everything. Like, fuck.
I just do it. It would be a 10-minute rundown.
It'd be a short episode. Yeah, it'd be
WandaVision. Fun. What'd you think? Yeah, it was cool. You didn't like it? Fuck it. What else? Yeah, Cocaine Bear. Crazy,
what
right?
What else we got?
Yeah.
Cocaine Bear. Cocaine Bear. Moving on. Meghan Markle. Racist royal British people. What the fuck? It's not to our review of Coming to America. Maybe they shouldn't have, because that movie was terrible. Screen champs.
Oh, man. I love it. All right. Here we go. Coming to America.
Okay.
All right. And that brings us to our review here. Coming to America. This is the second one, the sequel to Coming to America as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't play well for audio, but...
Okay, I mean, it's coming to, like, number two, America.
There you go.
Which I always love when they do that. It's like, of course you do it that way.
Yeah. There. So, Coming to America 2, I would still play. All right, where's
Coming to America 2? And it's, or like, Coming to is like T-O-O America?
Well, that's just bad grammar. That doesn't make any sense.
But, I mean, it plays when you're over here doing two.
So, yeah, this is directed by Craig Brewer, best known for Hustle and Flow. And he also did Dolomite Is My Name with Eddie Murphy a couple years before this. Mm-hmm. And Footloose 2011.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Movie starring Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, Leslie Jones, and Tracy Morgan. The synopsis here is African monarch Akeem learns he has a long-lost son in the United States and must return to America to meet his unexpected heir and build a relationship with his son. The Rotten Tomatoes on this one is a little rough, 52% critics and 48% audience. So the audience is even a little bit lower than the critics here. Yeah. Fun note, or interesting note for sure, is that this has had the best opening weekend on a streamer of any movie in the last 12 months. So that includes Wonder Woman 84, which kind of blew my mind. So this did better than Wonder Woman 84 did on HBO Max. So Coming to America, still a big deal. Sequel, 30 years in the making. Madman Moan, what are your thoughts on this movie here?
Oh, man. I mean, should we call it Coming to Zamunda? Because
yes,
they are only in America for like a little bit.
Very true.
Which, you know, like metaphorically, I feel like, you know, the first movie just had a certain charm to it. It had a certain like just easy funniness. And, you know, this one just didn't. It kind of lost that charm. It became a little forced. It became a little like just silly, like where, you know, Eddie Murphy's character in the first movie, it's funny, you know, him and Arsenio Hall, they're going to Queens. Right. And they're all like, just like naive, you know, they're all very, very funny with it. And that there was a lot of humor in that. And when, you know, they come to America to get his son, they keep saying bastard son. I'm like, Jesus. But whatever, I guess it's true, right? And so they bring him and his mom, Leslie Jones, to Zamunda, and in their customs or whatever, they're not like naively, genuinely, charmingly funny. They're just kind of just like being dumb about it, like being super silly and dumb and like just annoying. And I didn't like that. I feel like that just stayed throughout the whole movie, and it kind of just kind of tainted it for me. There was a few moments. Few callback jokes from the first one, but overall it was just like I wasn't for it, man.
So I mean, I think you're spot on with that. I mean, just kind of the duality of those two movies, and it's interesting because so much of the criticism about this movie, so much of the praise and criticism, is that this is essentially the same movie being remade again in a lot of ways. Like all the same characters, almost, except the new ones, all the same callback jokes and so much going on. But you're right. There's that charm of Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall going through New York and just wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know? And New York is gritty to them, and they're just smiling the whole time. And that's what's funny. That kind of brings the humor. Yeah. It's not funny the other way around when it's like people from New York are going to Zamunda and just being disrespectful. Like, that's not funny. Yeah. It's just kind of obnoxious, you know? And that's kind of how it played. Like Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan, they all kind of felt obnoxious in the roles. And it didn't have that charm whatsoever. Correct. I think what's interesting about this movie is that you can't talk about this movie without talking about where Eddie Murphy is right now. Eddie Murphy was a star. When this movie came out, this is a year after Raw came out, which is his prolific stand-up performance that, I mean, is still highly respected to this day. He was kind of at the top when Coming to America came out, that first one. And he rode that wave for a long time. And the 2000s were not nice to him. They just weren't. And in 2010, he got a Razzie for Worst Actor of the Decade. And after that...
For which movie?
Well, for a bunch of movies. He was nominated 9 times and he won 3.
Oh, so yeah. That's got to hurt.
So the words? I'm not 100% sure for which ones he was actually nominated for, but... starting in 2000, we got Dr. Dolittle 2, Showtime, The Adventures of Pluto Nash, I Spy, Daddy Daycare, Haunted Mansion, Norbit, Meet Dave, Imagine That, Tower Heist, 1,000 Words. These are all movies that just didn't work. I mean, some of those were so unfunny, you know, that, and some of them I haven't seen, admittedly, but I mean, stuff like 1,000 Words, terrible. I remember watching
1,000 Words was like, terrible. Yeah.
So bad. And when he won that Worst Actor of the Decade, he was discouraged, which makes sense for any person, right? And he said, well, I mean, they keep saying I'm making shitty movies. I'm just going to take like a year off. That year turned into like 6. And he was just kind of not about it. Once he made Dolomite Is My Name right before this and got some success, you know, he felt a little more confident, but you can tell that he's still playing it safe. At least that's how I feel when I'm watching this movie, and I also watched the first Coming to America beforehand.
Yeah.
It seems like he's like, look, this is a world I know. This is a world that people love. I'm just going to revisit this world. We're not going to change too much. It almost felt like, how can you say you don't like this movie? Because we essentially did the same thing. Like, what criticism could you possibly have? We had some of the same jokes. We had some of the same dialogue. What don't you like? If you don't like this one, then you obviously didn't like the first one. It feels super safe, and it suffered for it, if you ask me. And maybe I'm looking too far into it, but it kind of just felt like a music video that they put a movie around.
There's a lot of product placement, a lot of singing, a lot of dancing.
Like, too much.
Which is like, I mean, shout out to the costume department. Like, they freaking killed it again, right? Like, everyone was dressed apart. There was a lot of wildly colors. Like, it was cool. Like, they definitely handled it. I don't want to say maybe like took some stuff from like Black Panther, but like definitely like, you know, immersed you in this world where you're like, okay, I still believe this. I'm believing this.
It's the Black Panther costume designer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, but that makes sense. And I mean, cause it was, I generally enjoyed it. You know, when Leslie Jones is like rocking like this nice like dress and she, you know, which she stole, cause you know, they're just being funny, I guess. They're just poking fun.
It's hilarious.
Like, so dumb. I don't know. But I was like, wow, this is freaking sick. Like they look tight, but it just didn't focus. Like, you know, cause it's Eddie Murphy and Eddie Murphy's funny. He is generally a funny dude. And I love Eddie Murphy when he's silly and he's playing these other characters, whatever. I'm for it. It's funny. Like he's hilarious. Yeah. And it just didn't really focus. I feel like he had so little screen time. And this is no shade on the actor that played Eddie Murphy's son. But I don't think they wrote his story like good. Like his storyline was kind of all over the place, and the movie kind of focuses on him, right? It kind of focuses on his storyline and what's happening. I just didn't believe anything that was going on because I didn't really know what his motive was. You know, like when you watch Coming to America, the first one, you understand what's going on here. Aiden Murphy's like, screw my dad. I'm going to go to freaking America. I'm going to find myself a wife and screw these traditional values. Like I'm going to do this. And the movie plays out and it's very funny. It's very genuine and refreshing. And then this one, he's like, yeah, that guy, yeah, it's not me anymore. I'm following traditions now.
I guess we talk about this is, I guess it's spoilers from the, you know, the first 10 minutes of the movie, but Eddie Murphy can't have a son. He has three daughters, you know, and so, and he, as the king, needs to have a son that's heir to the throne. And then one of the characters tells Eddie Murphy, like, oh, you actually do have a son in New York. And he's like, well, I didn't sleep with anyone. And Arsenio Hall's character is like, actually, you did.
You did,
and
yeah.
He's like, no, I didn't. I don't remember. And then there's like this weird flashback where like Eddie Murphy kind of gets raped by Leslie Jones. I don't know. It's played for comedy. I'm not sure. I mean, he's sitting there like drugged, said he doesn't remember. I guess. You know, okay. So there you go. So he's didn't remember having sex with this girl. But he did, apparently.
Yeah, it's the ceremonial herbs.
Yeah, the ceremonial herbs. Yeah, that's what they blamed it on. And that's kind of the catalyst to get this movie going, say, oh, you do have your son. Now, I love this alternative world where I think the story would have been so much better. If you've seen the original, you know that Eddie Murphy, pure of heart, was looking for a wife, someone he connected with, someone that he really, truly loved.
Right.
And Sammy, his best friend, played by Arsenio Hall, he was out there slaying him. You know, he was like,
hey. Oh, yeah.
He was saying he was the prince, and he was having a good old time out there. But I love this world where potentially this kid isn't Eddie Murphy's son, and he's not, you know, like attacked by Leslie Jones in the 80s, and it's really Semi's son from one of the girls he was knocking back. And then all of this, you know, he marries Eddie Murphy's daughter. I think that story would have been, well, a lot less problematic. Probably would have made more sense and been more fun instead of kind of shoehorning this weird story in. And then they make this kid the focus, but you're right. His character didn't seem fleshed out. His story arc was kind of confusing. And just like the same way you're saying Eddie Murphy's arc doesn't make sense as being, you know, this guy that's going to, he's not going to go by tradition. He's going to follow his heart, except when he's king and he needs a son. Well, then it's tradition. Yeah. It can't be my daughter. It has to be this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then his son there, like, having all these conflicts. It's like, bro, like, you just got here.
All right. Yeah, there are some funny bits. There are some funny stuff. And I was like, well, yeah, that's funny. It's not a total waste of time, right? Yeah, this movie was kind of woke. It was a little woke. And I think it was by design. I think it's to appeal to our generation and kind of correct maybe some of the wrongs and in movies back in the day, right, where 40 years ago, things were, you know, women were portrayed a certain way and jokes were, you know, dirtier or more offensive than they are now. And So I get that. It just felt a little forced. You know, it felt like, it was for sure forced. It was just for sure like, but then they include that weird scene with like Eddie Murphy and Leslie Jones, which is just a joke, right? It's a funny joke, but it just like, did we need that joke? Like it wasn't, I didn't laugh. I was kind of like, wait, what? What the heck?
Well, I mean, to be fair, we weren't laughing a lot during the movie, but, can't win them all.
Then there was that Lyft joke. It's like, he's like, stop. And he's like, oh no, dude, you have to go on the app and, you know, just get a, get a Lyft. You might want to look for a promo code and surgeon right now. Like, I'm like, there's taxis. There's for sure taxis. Like they're still there. Like relax. Okay. Like it's fine.
I don't know. Those are my least favorite jokes. I mean, that falls into the same kind of like, oh, a snapbook or a Facegram, like it's like just say Facebook, and it's like, come on,
I know.
Like, oh, we're searching right now, and it's like no one would ever say that many words at one time ever. Like no one would ever say, "Hey, you have to download the Lyft app. Also, look for a promo code. We're searching right now." It was like, how many buzzwords can we put about rideshare?
Yeah, I know, right?
Like it's New York, bro. The guy would have been like, "Hey, it's get New the York, fuck that out taxi? Of the road," you know?
And yeah, he's gonna hit you. He's gonna clip you in the knee and continue on with his life and curse you out the whole time, you know?
But it was a PG-13 one and the woke police. No, I'm just kidding. No, so yeah,
it's just, it's not that.
It didn't really. I don't know. I just look. The bottom line is, you could take away the PG-13. You could take away the R rating. And it is what it is. A lot of people were concerned about it. You know, a lot of good jokes in the first one were kind of people dropping F-bombs and this and that. And it was kind of funny. But the bottom line is they took away the charm when it's Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall aren't the main characters doing their thing. All the returning characters, though, to be fair, they were consistent. You know, they played their roles well. Eddie Murphy was good. Arsenio Hall was good. Wesley Snipes was great. Everyone did their thing, but it just wasn't. It just didn't have that spark for me. I think the original is exponentially better than this one for sure. So what are we gonna rate this one by?
I don't know, sir. No, I was gonna say like it's not called Ceremonial Baths, but
just Zamunda Baths. You can say
Zamunda Baths. You can do that.
All right. So for this one, I mean, it's pretty clear. I thought a lot of the magic from the original was lost, which happens when you make a sequel 30 years later. But my score for this one is going to be a 38 out of 100 Zamunda Baths. I think it had some moments, and that's about it. Weird music video vibe. When the sun started rapping, that was weird. I just didn't love the experience. I would recommend, if you haven't seen the first one, just watch the first one and enjoy that, because it's a lot of fun. For the three-word review here, sing less, please. I cannot get over how much singing there was. The singing at first was so fun. Cringy. It was fun for a second, and then it just kept going on. And I felt like I was watching like Dave Chappelle's like Block Party DVD, where he just threw a concert in the middle of Chicago. And I was like, wait, what is happening right now? So, I don't know. I just sing less, please is going to be my three-word review for this movie. Madman, what do you got for us?
You know what? I'm surprised. I thought my score was going to be lower than yours.
Mm.
So, I mean, people are probably going to hit shit on me, but I'm going to give this one a 43.
Okay.
I don't think, like, it definitely wasn't the worst movie. It just wasn't, wasn't very good. No. My three-word review is needed more Eddie. Like, that's just what it was. Mm. Like, I need more of it because he was so fun. He's just so fun. He reminded me how funny I'm going to say it was, because you know, when the first one came out, it was years ago. And sometimes it's good to remember where you came from and just roll with it. I read somewhere that said that this was like an Adam Sandler movie for black people. Yeah. And I was like, damn, that sucks, dude. That's terrible. But then I was remembering about Adam Sandler, and I'm like, bro, he's making all these movies. Doesn't give a damn. He doesn't give a shit. He's doing what he's doing, bringing all his friends along. And then he's playing basketball, like in some parks with like really big shorts. Like he doesn't care. He's out there doing his thing. And he's like, fuck it, dude. I'm Adam Sandler, man. Here's a movie. Like,
yeah, well, hopefully watch it. Eddie Murphy hits us with his Uncut Gems then. That's what I'm trying to see.
Ooh, that would be good. Actually, he would have been so good in Uncut Gems too.
Oh yeah. There you go. All right, well, that concludes our episode for today, guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Peace out.
Hey guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset?
All right, take two.